Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We've also been following the various candidates running for governor in Illinois. Gary Rabine is one of them, the GOP candidate, the businessman, the paving empire. I understand they're in all 50 states now, and he's one running on the Republican slate. One of what I saw was five candidates in the Republican primary, and I don't know if they're including Mr. Mancow when they do that. So maybe it's even more than five. Gary, welcome to WGN Radio. You're on the air. How are you today?
Hey, John, thank you for having me on. I'm doing great today. And I think Mancow is running as an independent, is what he talked about. So
thank you. That's right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, he wouldn't have anything to do with the Republicans or the Democrats. He's an independent spirit, as I understand it.
Yeah, he is an independent spirit. So that's God bless him. Whatever he does, we need a quality person to win as governor of this state. We got a lot of problems.
So tell me what got you into this. So you've had a successful life. Why did you decide to throw your hat in for governor of Illinois?
John, I've had a very blessed life. I've raised four kids here in Illinois and started my first company out of high school, seal coating and driveways and paving driveways and all different bit jobs to start out, and grew my business to be, my team and I grew our businesses to be, you know, paving parking lots everywhere in America. It took about 30 years to get to that point, but only in America story, really. And today we do a lot of really cool things innovatively to be world class in our businesses, and we have a lot of fun doing that. But you know, I'm in Illinois. I want to stay in Illinois. This is my state, and our businesses. If you looked at our 13 small to mid-sized businesses here in Illinois, if you did the accounting, John, you would say, boy, you know what? 8 or 9 of these should not be in Illinois. There's the regulatory environment is more onerous here, and you shouldn't be here. It's going to cost you more money to be in Illinois compared to any state around us and most of the states in the country. So that's the biggest thing that I was upset about is if I'm looking at that, a person that's rooted here, loves the state, this is my place. If I'm looking at this and my accountants are telling me I should get out with some of these companies, I know that it's happening across our great state, and it just made me sick. So that was the biggest reason initially that I thought about it.
Did you have office previously? Have you been an elected person before?
No, I've never, John. I've never been never run for anything. I've been around politics a little bit because I've been supporting candidates who are people that believe in job creation and opportunity and that fight bad regulation. I've been behind some people in our country as well, and I was part of founding Job Creators Network, an organization that basically goes after bad regulation that hurts jobs, and that's been an amazing organization where I've learned how the whole country works and state by state. Best countries to work in, worst countries to work in. So I've gotten a really, really good eye on why Illinois is falling apart and why we're losing so many good Illinoisans that are leaving our state.
Gary Rabine's online, GOP candidate for governor. I'll read from your page. Business builder and chairman of the Rabine Group of Companies, father of four, grandfather of three. You and your wife grew up, raised their family in Lake and McHenry County. Started, as you said, in the paving business out of high school, formed the Rabine Group. Today does business in 50 states, headquartered in Schaumburg. You've mentioned job creation and the burden that businesses face in Illinois. When we talk to a lot of the gubernatorial candidates, they talk about crime as the reason that they think we need a new governor. Would you prioritize one of those issues over the other?
You know, John, when I thought about running, it was all about, is my knowledge of what it's going to take to create jobs and bring business and families back to Illinois. But crime has bubbled to the top. If we don't solve that problem, all the greatest ideas and regulatory reform in the world aren't going to get a family to want to live in a state that's one of the most dangerous in the country. So that is now one of the most important things we have to do. We have to, as in my businesses, and I go back to business a lot, John, but in our businesses, we have five core values, and the number one core value is safety. Our businesses are, people die in our industry every day. So we have to focus on safety on a daily basis. We want to make sure everybody gets home to their families safely, unharmed, and all that. And when I look at this governor's race or a governor's position, the number one priority is keep our citizens safe. And we're doing a lousy job of that right now. So, of course, that's the number one issue we have to solve. And all these other things have to come after that.
I do think we need to solve that. Nobody's going to argue with that. I think the kind of conundrum for a governor is, what can I do? Like when Mankow, for instance, was on and Jesse Sullivan talked along these lines as well, I said, well, then run for mayor. I would imagine the mayor of Chicago has more to say about crime in the city than the governor, outside of calling for, say, the National Guard, or for that matter, responding to a call for the National Guard. What can the governor do?
Yeah, so the governor is the leader of the state and every citizen in the state, including Chicagoans. I've been blessed to be in part of the Job Creators Network and growing my business. I've also joined the Republican Governors Association. So I've networked and I have mentors that are governors and some of the past governors from all over the country that I respect. And they've all, not all of them, but many of them had the same challenge where they have a city where they have terrible, you know, homicides and all the things we're seeing, violent crimes. And they become a big part, if not the leading person in helping solve that with a mayor. And when we look at what we've done with this law that our governor, and I look at him as failed governor, J.B. Pritzker, I mean, he signed a law, and they call it, I call it the unsafety law. And they're talking about safety, they call it. But this 3653 bill, in 2023, as this continues to progress, this law, or this, you know, we're going to say that there's going to be no cash bail, and we're going to say that there's no arresting of trespassers in your home or my home or our businesses. I mean, you can write people tickets for trespassing with that new law, and no cash bail. Well, those things have not worked anywhere else in the country or the world. For us to think that's okay to let that happen is wrong. So I think it's from the state, there's a lot of things we can do, and I'm excited to be part of that.
You know, I would imagine that that might resonate with everybody in the state, but certainly would resonate south of I-80, say. I mean, you're running on a Republican ticket, or you're one of the Republican candidates in the primary. I wonder how you appeal to Cook County. How do you appeal to Chicagoans in the suburbs? That's blue country there. So how do you cross that divide?
So, John, I do believe I'm the strongest in the Chicagoland area. I built my businesses here, McHenry and Lake County initially, and then all over the state of Illinois, but heavily in the densest areas of Cook County. My business is in Cook County. I've been all over, you know, the state. But I tell you what, it's not a Republican-Democrat issue right now. When we look at the feeling that people have, that they have a governor that's not even collaborating with his 177 legislators. So when you have a governor that doesn't collaborate with other governors across the country and doesn't look at data from other states like we believe we should be, I look at, okay, crime, it's not a Democrat-Republican thing. You know, 838 murders in the city of Chicago compared to 500, which is bad in New York. But we're five times more than bad in New York. Okay, five times more because we have over three times the population. Right? When we look at crime, that's not a Republican-Democrat thing. When we look at economy and we look at the jobs being lost in Illinois, 50, 60,000 jobs leaving Illinois, we look at our unemployment. We're about double the states around us in unemployment today. These are not Republican-Democrat issues. These are you know, issues of all of us in Illinois that we have to face and fix. So when I talk to people in Cook County and in the collar counties, I believe there's more people that are separating this from Republican Democrat into, hey, we got to compete again in Illinois. And I think that's what I'm going to bring to the table. I'm a very competitive person. My businesses have always strived to be world class. And there's really no reason, John, while our state shouldn't be the greatest state in the middle of the country. We've got everything going for us and we're blowing it.
It's 1:44. That's Gary Rabine. Let's pause. I've got a couple more questions for you, Gary. And our number, if you want to text in a question, is 312-981-7200. This is a question that I've asked the other candidates, too. If you become governor in November, I wonder, assuming that there is still some vestige of the coronavirus out there, what would your rules or regulations be? What do you think about J.B. Pritzker's rules and regulations about masks and about the vaccine? How would you have managed the last 2 years in Illinois? So how would you have managed the pandemic differently than J.B. Pritzker, Gary?
Yeah, first of all, I would say rules for thee, but not for me. It's a terrible way to manage anything as a leader, and I'm seeing that way too often out of this governor. You know, family goes to Florida in the pandemic. He's in Lake Geneva during the pandemic. I mean, he takes his toilets out of his house to save tax, but then wants everybody else to pay more tax. I mean, When I'm on one of my paving jobs, I'm grabbing a shovel along with my team. I really believe in leaders leading, living the same life they're demanding others to live around them when it comes to work ethic and all these things. But here, I'm so passionate about these issues, such as these issues of masking and freedom of masking or not, or freedom of vaccine or not. When the vaccine mandates that Biden knows she came out with that mandate, I put together some people through Job Creators Network and myself who funded and were the plaintiffs on the lawsuit that won at the Supreme Court level a few weeks ago. I don't know if you saw any of that, John, but I would not fire any of my teammates in my businesses for not taking a vaccine that was against their will. That's something I would never do. So I knew that if that law went in place, I would be out of business within a year or two because I couldn't afford the fines against me, and I would never do that. So we went so far as we spent the money, found the best attorney we could find in the country, and then won at the Supreme Court level. That affected over 80 million people across our country. And I got to tell you, that's how I feel about freedom. I'll do whatever it takes to fight for freedom. I'm so blessed that I built.
So you would not have had a mask mandate. You would not have stood behind a vaccination. Let's start with the mask mandate. How would you have handled that in Illinois?
Yeah, I would have educated and I would have constantly collaborated with people across the globe, like the best people that I know, the best governors and their advisors that I know did. And then I would educate on a constant basis on, hey, you know, wear a mask if you're in these situations, social distancing, educate at the highest extent that we can as leaders in government. And then ask people to do the right thing. I would not have. I would not have masked. I would not have masked everybody or demanded masking. And I surely would not have demanded that everybody get vaccinated at this point in this vaccine.
Well, you don't have to get a vaccine, but you do have to wear a mask in certain circumstances. And the vaccine is obviously a good idea. It's saving thousands of lives. Thousands of people who don't get vaccinated die. 90% of the people who are in hospitals and die of COVID-19 these days are non-vaccinated. So there's obviously science behind vaccinations. Last summer, you said something along the lines of the vaccination is killing a lot of people. Do you still stand by that? I presume you believe that the vaccine is safe and smart.
Here's what I believe. I believe that we can all do our own homework. I also believe in natural immunity. I think if we do our own homework and
I believe in natural immunity too, but I trust you believe that the vaccine is safe and smart.
I believe for the right people it is. If you're older, up in age, if you have health issues, it may be the right thing to do. I'm not a doctor to tell you yes or no. I believe what I believe for myself and my family. But they make their own decisions.
But if I may, Gary, what do you believe for yourself and your family then?
Well, for me personally, I've not been vaccinated because I've got COVID a year and about three, four months ago. And I've been tested many times now, actually four times now for my antibodies, and they're very strong.
So you've never been vaccinated. Have members of your family been vaccinated?
Yes, absolutely.
Your family has, but you haven't. Now explain that to me. Most families, not all, but most are on the same page. Is there a rift in your family over that? Why are some vaccinated and some not?
Yeah, we have absolutely no rift over that. I'm a pro-vaccination person all my life, John. I just believe that it's up to us individually. And I've got family members that have health issues. I've got family members that are much older than me or a little older than me that believe in it. And God bless them. I believe they should make their own choice. It just shouldn't be up to any president or any governor or an employer. Hey, John, 3 years ago, I would have been sued if I demanded one of my employees to take a vaccination, and I would have lost 100% of the time, and I would deserve to lose if I demanded my employees to do anything against their own health or their own religious wishes, right? So how that changed all of a sudden in the snap of a finger, and a president or a governor or a mayor could tell us we must do these things is wrong, in my opinion. I love freedom. I believe that I couldn't have done what I've done and been blessed to build the businesses that my team and I have built over the years. And it's because of this great country, America, and the freedoms we have. I'm just a pro freedom person, and I want to make choices individually for myself mm-hmm. and my family members that are in my house maybe, but I only have one left, so I only have one person in my house, my son that lives with me now.
Fair enough. Gary, a lot of our listeners are texting in asking if you accept the results of the 2020 election.
Yeah, so I mean, we have a president today that is this president, Joe Biden, and I accept that he's our president. We have to go forward. I know that I believe there is votes stolen or whatever over this thing, whether it's 10 votes or 10 million votes. I don't know the answer. All I can tell you is we need to make it simple, easy to vote for everybody, and we need to make it as close to impossible to cheat in order for all of us to have a vote that counts. I'll continue to say that because I believe in it, and that's something we have to focus on in the future. With technology today, I'm a person that invests in technology in our businesses, and we do some amazing things. And we know that there's technology out there for sure that can make it almost impossible to cheat in an election, and we need to invest in that as a country.
Well, do you think there was widespread cheating or voter fraud in the 2020 election?
I can tell you this. I mean, Illinois has been a place where we've been known for this for since 1960. The Kennedy election, we've been known as the granddaddies of this thing when it comes to voter fraud. How much of it, I can't tell you. I'm not a data scientist. I'm not a person that digs into that stuff to understand it. But it's rampant, and it needs to be changed. It needs
rampant.
To be fixed.
And so I don't want to dwell on it because I heard your answer to the question, but I think it's important to people to hear Republicans say how they feel about the legitimacy of the last election itself. You accept the results of the 2020 election. So what did you make then of what happened on January 6th? And do you think that was legitimate political discourse?
You know, January 6th was just like any of these violent organizing efforts we see is terrible. I can't stand to see it and on there in Washington or on our streets of Chicago. Right. We have to punish people that do anything like that. I think protesting is something we need to do in a very, very safe way. A violent protesting is unacceptable in any case, whether it's there in D.C. or it's in our streets of Chicago. It's got to stop.
How much money are you going to be able to spend on your election? Obviously, the mayor of Aurora is going to get untold millions to support him. How many dollars will you have?
Yeah, so the mayor of Aurora is going to need a lot more than he's spending, in my opinion, to make himself look like a Republican, a conservative, and somebody that's going to change our state. I'm going to spend every bit of money it takes to win this thing. I don't think it has to be 20 or 30 or 40 million like some others may spend in this race.
Gary Rabine, the GOP candidate, he's one of them running in the primary for governor of Illinois. First time we've talked, Gary. I hope there's another time down the road. Good luck to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, John, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.